Greetings, kindred witches. Welcome to the Atomic Hearth for this Sunday Haven.
Here we share our experiences as we build a modern-day inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, celestial cycles, and the science of energy.
Join us as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works toward building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us.
Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. This podcast is recorded on the homeland of the Duwamish people, and more broadly, the Coast Salish people, as well as many other indigenous tribes that make their home here in the Pacific Northwest, past, present, and future. As a spiritual being and steward of this land that I call home, I feel honored with the responsibility of caring for this piece of our planet. The Atomic Witchcraft team participates in Real Rent Duwamish as a way to compensate for the land that was stolen through violence and broken land treaties. I encourage you to look into and participate in Real Rent programs that support Indigenous communities in your area. Please take a moment to join me in honoring the original stewards of the land on which you are residing, and a moment of gratitude for the earth itself and the bounty it provides. Please join me in words that work for you. To the ancestors that hold this ground, and for those spirits yet to come, may you fill me with guidance as I learn my place as a steward of this land and its creatures. In the gift of this role, I hold gratitude for all that surrounds me, for the water which cleanses me, for the earth's fruit which nourishes me, for the air that breathes life, for the fire that warms as it burns, and for the divine cosmos within. I am a child of the universe, at one with the trees and the stars. May the tides of the moon fill me with silver and the sunbeams tint me in gold. From light to dark, from birth to death, spring to winter, new moon to full, and back again. It is a beautiful world, one worth protecting. This I will, as within, so without, as above, so below. As I am, so mote it be. Good moon, witches, and welcome to our hearth. New moon in the solstice season. For those in the southern hemisphere, the longer days of summer are peaking and the sun hanging high overhead before tucking in for late evening sunsets. As the days warm, time outside luxuriating in the sun's glow is a great way to lean into this solstice new moon. Behind that glow, the moon chasing the rays of the sun also makes its way across that daytime sky, never quite appearing as it tucks itself before the horizon just before the sun retires each day. This dual energy arcing across the sky can serve as a great recharge, and the deep inkiness, darkness of night allows us to luxuriate in the process of a good night's rest. Rest. It's so important. Whether it's under the heat of a heavy, warm afternoon sun or indulging in the long nights of the winter realm, sleep is our body's time to heal, a time when our cells literally regenerate and synthesize their own amazing process of recharging. It is also a time when many believe that we are more susceptible to messages from across dimensions or veils, and when our subconscious psyche has room to voice what it's processing and understanding, memorizing, and making meaning. Rest and sleep are vital to our ability as witches to be fully present and active in our craft. If you struggle here, consider engaging with some resources to help, from setting the space and tone before bed to sleep meditations and soothing teas. It's important to learn how you can wind down your energy for the day. Much like the new moon tucking itself to bed early, now is a great time to get some much-deserved rest and slumber. Lunar tides be with you.
Now winter nights enlarge this number of their hours, and clouds their storms discharge upon the airy towers. Let now the chimneys blaze and cups o'erflow with wine. Let well-tuned words amaze with harmony divine. Now yellow waxen lights shall wait on honey love, while youthful revels, masks, and courtly sights sleep's leaden spells remove. This time doth well dispense with lovers' long discourse. Much speech hath some defense, though beauty no remorse. All do not all things well, some measures comely tread, some knotted riddles tell, some poems smoothly read. The summer hath his joys, in winter his delights, though love and all his pleasures are but toys, they shorten tedious nights. Now Winter Nights Enlarge by Thomas Campion.
Tis the season, filled with the magic of giving and receiving. Now, the science of giving and receiving is atomic in its nature. Molecules and atoms giving and receiving electrons in a constant dance of balance. In chemistry, an atom receives an electron through a process called reduction. At the same time, it also is giving an atom through oxidation. This redox process is instantaneous and occurs around us through a variety of natural processes, some of which seek balance through combination or creation, others through displacement and separation. This process of giving and receiving spurs a chain reaction that alters the essential chemical composition of a creation. Giving and receiving is built into the building blocks of our world. So why should magic, and thus life, be any different? When we think of the magic of giving and receiving, especially at this time of year, we are often drawn to picturesque images of well-wrapped packages with beautiful bows that we gift to each other, often with a little bit of nerves or excitement of an anticipation. Will they like it? Will I react appropriately? And while this is definitely something that is baked into the holiday solstice season, the idea of truly giving and receiving goes much deeper than that, and in its truest form can provide a balm to the soul. Perhaps it's the atomic part of us that seeks that exchange and comes out feeling balanced and whole. Now, when we talk about giving and receiving, this is a very personal topic. Everyone will receive and give differently, and this gets it a little bit into the platinum rule territory. For those maybe not familiar, the golden rule, of course, says, "Do unto others as you would have done unto you." The platinum rule goes one step further and asks that we consider not just that we treat them how we would want to be treated, but how they ask or want to be treated. This changes the language to do unto others as they would want to be done unto themselves. And this gets into intent versus impact. If we abide by the golden rule, our intent may be good, but it may not have the impact we had hoped for. If instead we focus on the platinum rule and intent as well as impact, then we get closer to a truly thoughtful giving. This gets tricky. How do you know what they want? We all know what assumptions make, so what next? Well, honestly, the best advice out there, just ask them. To do that though, there are some tools you can put in your toolbox to either have that conversation or make some observations and ask some questions. So in the late, or I guess maybe it was early 90s, 92 I think, Gary Chapman described five love languages: acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, and receiving gifts. A slightly augmented list frames seven options: activity, appreciation, emotional, financial, intellectual, physical, and practical. So whether you prefer the list of five or seven, these different ways in which we seek comfort, appreciation, and love are tools for communicating with others. Not only what we need, but what feels best to give. Often love languages are described as how you like to give or show appreciation, and well, love, whatever that word means to you in that particular relationship and dynamic, so your language in one relationship may be different than that in another. Giving and receiving comes in many forms and dynamics. Admittedly, during the holiday season, the air and pressure of giving and receiving is high, and often we focus more on the material gifts that we can give each other. However, if we reflect back on that list of love language, we actually start to get a better picture of all the ways that we give meaningfully, and that's where the magic begins. Like much of witchcraft, it starts with awareness. And as I said, often the best way is to know what a person appreciates most in your relationship is to ask them. Is it the thoughtful trinkets that matter, or bringing them lunch? Or is the laughter as you watch a movie together or share a meal together the most important? Is it the moments when you adventure out and do something new and daring? Is it the words of love and confidence that they fill you with each day? Maybe they just give the best hugs in all the world. Each one of the experiences I just listed is a gift of time, of relationship, of thought, of care. Because if you fill it with the time and attention of the platinum rule, you take something mundane and make it magical. Each type of language has something to offer by way of gift giving this season. So whether you are shopping for someone else or looking to identify your own personal style of giving and receiving, may these ideas get you thinking outside of the, well, gift box. Acts of service are an amazing way to gift not only your time, but your talents as well. This might look like taking on some much-needed chore work around the house, or perhaps you are skilled at building websites, taking portraits, making art. These skills can be of service to those where, truly, the best thing you can give them is a service they maybe don't have resources for, a chore they are unable to do for any myriad of reasons, or maybe it's just giving them some of their own time back. These gifts of service should be done with mindfulness and intent, taking on that platinum rule of completing the task or offering the service in a way that is meaningful to the receiver, and always mindful of intent versus impact. Perhaps you do an act of service of organizing a closet, but in the process, the impact is that you unknowingly threw out something important. Going back to the website example, it would mean including their tastes and choices in the process, not just designing what you think is best. If you particularly enjoy acts of service, you may also find that you're what's known as one of the helpers. These folks tend to be passionate about helping, however they can, whenever they can. In this case, helpers are both giving and receiving instantaneously. Sound familiar? A good reminder that these love languages go both ways. These days, one thing there never seems to be enough of is time. And well, maybe money, but definitely time. Maybe it feels especially true with the shortened days of the winter solstice approaching, or maybe it's something that happens as we age. But time takes on another dimension in our lives, whirring by in an instant while simultaneously sludging along. Perhaps, and it's no surprise that quality time, time where we are present in the moment, actively listening and participating, expressing care, gratitude, and love in the very act of giving. Quality time will look different for each exchange because quality is relative to each person. But the overall theme here is intent, care, and presence. To craft an experience with care, putting in the time before and during to design something with the recipient in mind. You know, slapping together dinner and tossing on a movie has a very different intent and feel than mindfully gathering and preparing a favorite meal, setting the space for the desired mood, and choosing a movie that allows you two to laugh and interact throughout. Quality time might look like board games and good snacks with friends, or perhaps selecting that favorite blanket to cuddle up with and that one warm drink that always hits the spot. Notice that, you know, love languages apply to self-love as well. Last haven, I mentioned letters and handwritten notes as great simple gifts filled with meaning, and these are great examples of words of affirmation. But don't limit yourself to letters. Poems, stories, songs, yes, even spoken sentiments make for wonderful words of affirmations. Perhaps one of my favorite exchanges of words of affirmations is from the TV show, Schitt's Creek, where one of the characters nervously puts themselves out on a limb and lip syncs a love song to their partner. You don't have to get crazy, but affirmation through an act of vulnerability is some potent magic. It's why words of affirmations have great power, similar to the words we might utter in a spell or ritual. The gift of words, if woven with intent and care, lasts a lifetime. The power of physical touch is real, whether to heal or harm, so I cannot stress consent enough here though. This is one of those areas where intent versus impact is really important, so always ask first. And no means no, without question, hesitation, or pressure. So, but that being said, I also want to encourage us as a society to break outside of the confinement that physical touch should be limited to romantic partners. Appropriate physical touch is such a blessing in all kinds of relationships. For friends, this might be really good hugs or piling close together on the couch where limbs bump without awkwardness or hesitation. The science of touch tells us that our entire nervous system is impacted by this gift, and if used with intent and mindfully, can truly provide balance and cohesion. Atomically, this makes sense. In physical touch, it's not just our energy in motion, but it's our energy in motion colliding in close proximity with another's. The gift of a 30-second hug can reset heartbeats and calm nerves. While less popular in American culture, there are traditions and gifts around the brushing, braiding, weaving, styling, and care of each other's hair. That tingling sensation when someone plays with your hair, an early memory from childhood that brings back sensations of comfort and ease. The last of Chapman's five love languages, the more traditional gift of an item. Whether a token of friendship, something on a wish list, a needed item or trinket, these fall into more traditional gift gifting. There is also the gifting of an experience, like a concert ticket. Now, if you attend with them, this is a gift, an actual gift, and some quality time, a great common ground for those two types of languages. Whether you make or buy your gift, spending time to design the impact really shapes and elevates the intent. If you have someone who is passionate about the environment, consider that when purchasing or making them a gift. Consider ingredients, processes, and waste impact. This comes to packaging as well. When selecting gifts, it goes back to intent versus impact. A nice new shirt feels best to receive when someone took the time to learn the appropriate shirt size. This holds true even for the infamous gift card gift. It's important to consider, is this a place they already frequent, where the gift will be used in conjunction easily with other purchases? Or is this meant to get them a whole new gift at a place they don't usually go? Nothing like getting a gift card that only covers half the amount on the cheapest item in the store. It forces someone to then provide the other 50% of their gift. Just something to consider when deciding where and how much to put on that gift card to really account for impact and not just intent. Traditional gifts, whether handmade or purchased, are great tokens of relationships or ways to fulfill more practical needs. And like all other gifts, benefit from thoughtful selection. Love languages dance and intersect in every relationship, with different ones in play depending on who is in the mix. And this speaks to all kinds of relationships, from co-workers and community to friends and family, even self-love. As you consider which languages you give and receive in, begin to pay attention to how those moments make you feel. Our feelings, those accumulations of energy that move through our bodies via chemical reactions and kinetics, allow us to fuel our magical intents with matching energy, aligning those reactions. So the more we're able to understand and especially create those wells of energy, the more we have access to them. In modern times, Chapman's five languages were adjusted to a slightly different seven aspects. I say modern, I was alive in the 90s. In these times, five languages were adjusted to slightly different seven aspects: activity, appreciation, emotional, financial, intellectual, physical, and practical. To me, these speak more about how you might approach some of the languages Chapman describes, or even the types of loves we have for someone. For instance, emotional love may be expressed through quality time, words of affirmations, or even gifts. Practical love may show up through acts of service or gifts, and others. These types of love can be expressed through a language, whether it's giving or receiving. Now, the science of giving shows us that altruism and giving to others lowers our stress levels and engages our parasympathetic nervous system, shifting us out of an active fight or flight. In fact, it literally lights up the reward pathways in our brain, activating what is coined as the helper's high. This is perhaps why we call the helpers are so actively drawn to giving to others. There is a literal chemical shift happening as electrons activate. This generation of energy is also potent for magic, as we use that to weave some of the deeper, more potent healing energies that can only come from giving. For many, receiving gifts is harder than giving. It can feel awkward and uncertain. It can also feel like being unseen or unheard when you are gifted something that so clearly states that the person has not been paying attention at all. It's the intent versus impact effect, and the old adage of it's the thought that counts. And indeed, intent is nice, but someone who is truly giving puts intent and impact behind the gift. Even then, receiving might feel like we aren't deserving or that the giver feels obligated. It might make us feel indebted or that our independence feels threatened. The doubts of receiving weigh in heavily during the holidays, and it's important that if they show up on your shoulder, you address them head on. There is no art to receiving, but you can combat some of those feelings of indebtedness or undeservedness by remembering the heart of what gift giving is. A gift cannot be earned. Therefore, it goes above and beyond deserving. It's not compensation. It's a gift. The same is true of debt. A gift is just the opposite, something given without the expectation of receipt. A gift, it's not an exchange. As for worry over obligation on behalf of the giver, be careful with this assumption and be mindful and aware if and when you ever just give out of obligation. Perhaps this worry is born out of our own behavior and worth considering during the shadow work of the season. There is always misdirected intent versus impact, and in those moments, you will need to lean on your personal values as how do you address that situation. Our gratitude language is also, funnily enough, resemblant of our love language, perhaps in more subtle ways. When we apply this to a work or community setting, we suddenly start to understand how we can make people feel seen, heard, and valued for who they are, not just what they bring to the table. Acts of service may be simple things like grabbing them a coffee or grabbing their items off the printer. While, of course, consent and physical touch is highly necessary, a good high five or a handshake can go a long way with some folks. Gifts may take form of financial bonuses to small tokens to celebrate anniversaries or the holidays. Gratitude, much like giving, is an endorphin driver, one of those instant reactions of both giving and receiving in tandem. Of course, during the season of gift-gifting, we often limit gifts to the more literal meaning instead of embracing all the aspects of giving, all of which could be classified as gifts. With those that you are close with, this might be about framing what gift-giving looks like this season. Rules like handmade only or acts of service or inexperience instead of the traditional gifts are all ways to agree on how to frame giving for the season. In the cases where this isn't necessarily possible, take a moment to frame your gift by wrapping it in words that share your intent. Notes like, this season, let's gift each other a little more time. Join me in the kitchen for a night together. Maybe it's a box with an image of an experience or another symbol that represents a bigger action or intent. I admit, it's hard to move out of the habit of presenting wrapped items. So when we frame our less in-the-moment tactile gifts in a more traditional package, it helps create that feeling of a gift that you can hand someone. However you decide to give, don't let presentation stop you. Now that we have covered a variety of gift types and how you might present your gift, let's get into the witchcraft of gifting. Now, these techniques can be applied whether you are shopping for a gift, making, baking, or crafting a gift. The idea is that first, you will envision the person you will be giving to. Spend time reflecting on conversations around things they may need, want, or love in order to start their understand their love language and gratitude language. If you haven't ever talked about it, maybe this is a good way to start. And as you envision this person, taking what you know about what it is they may want or need, consider what it is that you want to and can give. This will speak to your language of love and gratitude. Where do your two languages intersect? Once you have all that information, who you are gifting to, what you want them to receive from the gift, ease of mind, extra time, a smile, joy, etc., you can then begin to manifest and select the meaningful gift. Often I will spend time reflecting at home or while I'm with someone so that I have some idea of where to begin my shopping or crafting or designing for the experience. From there, whether I'm walking a store or getting my hands dirty making something, I'm consistently focused on that person in my mind, my intent, and what I'm hoping that gift will provide them. When shopping, this often serves as a beacon to the items that might be suited best. When crafting, it actually imbues the gift with that energy. And when I say energy, I'm talking about all those good helper endorphins that run through us as we give or help others. That chemical reaction in our body is brimming with energy for us to use. So use it. I always think about cookies in this context. There are cookies, and then there are cookies. And while the former are good, you can tell there is no love in them, no intent, or, well, magic. Yet the latter may be a little misshaped or imperfect, but you can literally taste the love and care that went into creating them. Sometimes you can just feel the patience and work that went into making something that was crafted with intent. This same practice goes into designing experiences like a night together or a gathering with friends. The care and love that goes into creating those spaces and setting the tone is a tangible gift felt by everyone who is participating. When it comes time to wrap your present or gift, this process can also be filled with magic. Let's use traditional gift wrapping paper and process as an example. First, I select the gift and take a moment, holding it as I envision the person unwrapping it. Then, as I do that, I start to look through my wrapping supplies. What would bring them the most delight? Is it a gift wrapped in Sunday's comic to reuse and also have a little laugh? Or is it a cloth that serves as a bandana or handkerchief when done? Is it a shiny gold wrapping paper? Or the ones with the cute little penguins? Maybe it's a simple box or envelope with a small decorative flair. No matter what my options are or what I'm choosing, it's about constantly holding their image in my mind, using it as a bit of a homing beacon on choices. Then, once selected, the wrapping begins. I think about what kind of energy I might want to send to this person. The general ones might be love, gratitude, happiness, and wellness, but you may decide to add or emphasize one based on what you know about the person and where they are at in life right now. For a friend that is maybe struggling with body image, imbuing the gift with self-love and confidence is a little twist that adds that personal touch. Then, with my energetic intent in mind, I imagine this person being filled with those energies as I carefully craft and fold the paper around their gift. The same process for adornment. Maybe my gift wrapping was entirely focused on care and self-love, and the bow on top is that dash of confidence that salts the dish. For more experienced based gifts, you can use the same approach for any packaging you do, focusing on envisioning the event filled with those energies and the impact you hope to make with them. It's important here that the impact you're hoping to make is not self-serving. Remember, gifts don't come with obligations or indebtedness. Then, my final touch is one of a personal flair, but I like to scent gifts when I can. Whether it's with a smell of we both enjoy, a personal perfume to remind them of me, or a seasonal dab of cinnamon or clove, always mindful of allergies and preferences. Scent is one of our strongest memory triggers, and it's amazing the power it holds, so I love to engage the sense as a way to create and recall lasting moments. Now let's talk about the giving and receiving that we can't see, but can certainly feel. As we gather, especially during the holidays, but really at all times, there are subtle ebbs and flows of giving and receiving that happen on an energetic and atomic level. Molecules changing shape as they form and as they energize, reducing and oxidizing, giving and receiving simultaneously. And though we may not see it, we are always in constant energy exchange with the world around us, through our living system, like our breath, heartbeat, and thought, to our kinetic motion of movement. Because we are alive, we are constantly giving and receiving energy with the world around us. And perhaps, strangely enough, this feels evident during the season of gathering. We've all felt it. Those people who light up the room with their energy, whom after spending time with, we feel replenished and restored. And on the flip side, the times where we just can't quite explain it, but we leave an interaction feeling drained and off kilter. These energy exchanges, whether for better or worse, are constantly happening as we gather, and it's an element of giving, receiving that witches especially need to be mindful of. Some folks pour out energy because they have plenty to give and share, and others absorb energy because their internal balance is missing those needed electrons to bring it into a cohesive state. In those moments, whether energy is washing through the room or being pulled into a proverbial black hole, we as witches tend to be more aware and susceptible to this giving and receiving process. Now, ideally, energy exchange would always be with consent, but honestly, it's a bit hard to ask someone to rein in their energy if they aren't aware it's happening, and convincing someone in the moment is maybe not the time or place. So, with that in mind, I encourage us as witches to weave and hold our own energetic shields. There's a whole episode about it. So now, these things don't need to block out so much as they need to give you the chance to opt in or out of the exchanges happening. On the flip side, you can also choose to participate in the giving of or receiving of energy intentionally while in these situations. A way to give to the larger group of people with just a subtle gift of an energetic boost. However you choose to engage with the giving and receiving of energy this season, I encourage you to do so with awareness intent, a key aspect to an atomic witchcraft practice. Speaking of witches, what do you gift a fellow witch? Well, all of the above concepts still apply, but now maybe you can be a bit more explicit in your gifting. This might mean making spell pouches or gifting spell ingredients and your own ritual guide. Honestly, some of the most meaningful witch gifts I have received have been found natural items that someone took the time to gather and imbue. But there are also more easily acquired gifts, like subscriptions to witchy gift boxes or maybe a new tarot deck. Although I highly encourage folks to select their own on these, same goes with crystals, unless you really know that person's energy markings. This is where that gift card to your local occult or gem store comes into play. I also always recommend a good book, witch or no. There have been a number of great books mentioned here on the podcast this season for witches of all experience levels, and we'll be sure to share those in our social media accounts as a way to not only gift a witchy gift, but to support fellow kindred. The building blocks of the universe are based on sequences of giving and receiving. This process is woven into the fiber of our beings, and it's through this exchange, whether on an atomic or social level, that we actively participate in the world around us. As witches, we become aware of this energy and its exchange as a way to subtly shift and work with this force, one we can channel into the way that we give and receive in this world, one that focuses on and considers not just the gift of intent, but impact. There is magic in a gift given and received. May you find joy and ease this candle nights.
Welcome back, everyone. Alyssa again with Witch in Action, in which I share some tips on ways that you can integrate mindful living into your practice and how to make a positive impact on the world around you. Now, the suggestions I make may not suit everybody or every body. I acknowledge that everyone has their journey, and sometimes certain sustainable practices may not suit that journey. It's not about perfection. It's about doing just a little bit better and allowing grace for those who are unable to. Now, I talk a lot about living sustainably and making conscious choices in what you buy and use, so I figured I'd put together a little gift guide to help someone in your life get started on this path. Now, keep in mind, I am in no way being sponsored or paid to recommend these products or shops. These are just items and resources that I personally like and that I've used or gifted in the past. I love putting together little kits of items with a similar purpose or theme, like items for the kitchen, cleaning supplies, or self-care. I follow a few basic guidelines when shopping for these things, including if the product is durable, if it can be disposed of in a sustainable way at the end of its life, if it doesn't shed small plastics, and if possible, if I can get it from a local maker or if the company has a transparent ethical and environmental policy. For a cleaning-themed gift, I have a circuit of items I like to include, all of which I have used and loved for years. Things such as Swedish dishcloths, which are a compostable, reusable alternative to paper towels, wool dryer balls, which replace dryer sheets, and this scrubbing pad called a Euro Scrubby, which is an amazing alternative to those green scour pads that are made of small plastic fibers. The Euro Scrubby is made of cotton and non-plastic coating and colored with compost-safe dyes. It's honestly my favorite thing to give people because it's so well. I even included it in my bridesmaid gifts. It's so good. If I were to put together a kitchen gift basket, I may include some of the items I listed above, but I have a few favorites as well. I don't use Ziploc bags or cling wrap in my home because they can't be recycled by conventional means and are really terrible for the environment. So instead, I opt into reusable alternatives. My go-tos for myself and gifts include Stasher bags and Z-Wraps beeswax wraps. These are the best brands of this kind of product that I have personally found and used so far. I'll also include gifts based on what I know that person likes. If they enjoy baking, I would add something like silicone muffin tin liners. Or if they're a coffee fan, I might get them a high-quality reusable thermos. Mir is a good brand for this. Or some reusable steel or silicone straws. Make it personal. Have some fun. You know, everyone loves a good self-care package or a spa day gift set. Sadly, a lot of the pre-made baskets out there contain a bunch of plastic packaging and synthetic ingredients, which is why I recommend making your own. One of my favorite places to get sustainable and eco-friendly items for this type of gift is Lush. They're actually a really awesome company that fights animal testing, sources their ingredients as ethically as possible, and is continually working to find alternatives to plastic in their packaging. Also, their bath bombs are amazing. You can also make your own spa day items like sugar scrubs to gift to someone as well. I also like to include something like a reusable heat wrap or pad. There's a local lovely crafter here in Seattle that makes them, and it's filled with like dried herbs, and it's just like giving a warm hug to someone. You can also purchase similar items on places like Etsy or make one yourself. There's a lot of helpful tutorials on YouTube out there. I hope my suggestions inspire some fun and creative gift ideas. What are some of your favorite items to introduce people to?
Hey, Kindred Witches, thank you for bringing your magic to this grove and gathering here at the Atomic Hearth for today's Sunday Haven.
We look forward to coming together for our next Sunday Haven, currently planned for Sunday, January 7th. We'll be taking a break for the holiday season and returning in the new year. But we'll have a special Candle Nights podcast episode that will be released on the winter solstice, so keep an eye out for that.
As we wrap today, the team at Atomic Witchcraft thanks you for listening. We are looking forward to exploring this new path with you and would love to connect via social media or Patreon. Linktree is in the bios. Access is always free, and we work to harbor a safe hearth for all. As above, so below. As within, so without. As we end, so we begin.